Chicago, of course, is home to some of the greatest theater in the world, but then the Brits got to send their productions over here, and we're like, all right, fine, you do it very well as well. Woman in Black is running at the Royal George Theater. They're running just through February 17th, so you have less than, you have this weekend and you have next weekend, and they also have a wonderful deal for Valentine's Day
week.
So Bradley, and I'm going to say, I don't know if I say Bradley because I look at you and I'm like, I should say your proper name, but hi, Brad.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having us back.
Oh, wonderful to have you back. It's Brad Armacost, and we have Adam Wesley Brown as well in studio with
hello,
us.
Hello, hello.
And okay, so I saw this on Sunday. You had another event, which was the NFL Scream Off, and I was the only person wearing. Griffin and I were the only ones wearing our NFL paraphernalia. But
we certainly appreciate.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. You took it very seriously.
I did. I felt like if there's anybody else that did wear theirs, I wanted them to also feel like they were in the right place. I think that some people took theirs off.
Our stage manager made us take ours off before we went on stage, which I just didn't agree with.
I didn't agree with that either.
Mm. Yeah. It was something to behold. I love ghost stories to begin with. The thing is, this is more than just a ghost story. This is such an expression of storytelling that I didn't expect, because you really do learn something about what it means in the beginning first to tell a story and how that has lasting effects on people's lives and beyond. And that's kind of what I took away from it. I'm sure that's just my just really quick 1 minute so I can let you guys talk a little bit. But this is really incredible. So it's just the two of you. In this, on stage, unpacking the story, I guess, where your character has to tell the story. Tell me why your character has to tell the story.
The catharsis of, years earlier, something really dreadful happened to this individual, and he's been living with it or trying to live with it for 30 years. And he finally, to get on with his life, to get that catharsis and move on with his life, he finally writes his story down, and then he enlists the help of Adam's character, who, as a theatrical producer / actor director, says, this is a great story. And even though, what do we have, a couple of chairs and a skip up there, he says, we can tell this story.
Well, for those who aren't familiar with the story, this is a gothic ghost story by Susan Hill. And we watch both of you, and Adam, your character gets so frustrated and then gets so drawn into this. And your character, Brad, doesn't want, is just telling the story and he's trying to pull you out of that.
Right.
But that moment where you realize, oh, if I just reenact this, I'm remembering now, right? And it's such a wonderful experience to watch all that transformation.
It's, I think it I don't think this was the original intent of Stephen Malotrat, who adapted Susan Hill's book, but it does touch on art as therapy.
Right. Right.
Here's a person who's gone through something so traumatic and so life-altering that he carries it with him for decades. And then the only thing that can help him, as he says, purge it from his soul is to reenact it, to relive it in the telling. And, being in the theater for a couple of decades myself, it's such a love letter to the art of theater and the art of storytelling. The play's the thing. At the end of the day, it's just tell the story. That's what we're here for. And watching Brad's character find that of, I don't want to be in front of people. Oh, that's not what I want. This is actually an interesting journey. I see what you're playing at, and I get it, and I can buy into it, and it feels good to tell this story. It's such a fun. That's kind of how I got into theater originally. Was I like telling stories myself? Oh, I can do it in this great organized way with sets and lights and costumes.
And lest this sound like an evening of therapy in the theater.
Oh, right. Oh, no.
It's also incredibly frightening.
Oh,
the story
gosh.
That is being told brings out a general feeling almost of catharsis with the audience as well, because we had a great house tonight. We had a great house when you were there the other night, other afternoon. But they scare one another. That shared experience of, you too? I thought I was the only one.
And it's that good thing of if you can play it right on stage when a scare happens and you give it just, and you play it just right, then you get the laughter afterwards of everybody being scared. And then laughing at themselves.
The release.
Yeah. We had a couple of those tonight, which was always such I mean, it's hard for us to hide our hard giggles on stage when those kind of things happen.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's electric. I mean, you can feel, if you feel it in the room.
We've had you know, when doors will open, or especially Adam's character is putting himself in danger, you'll have people from the audience just go, don't go in there.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
No, don't.
Why would he do that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why would he do that? Oh, no. Don't go through that door.
Well, and here's the thing. You start to believe that there's mud, that there's a dog trying to, you know, all these different elements to it that are created by you and by the people who created all the special effects. And I mean, the audience becomes, you're immersed into it, you know, and that's and then the layers that begin to unfold before you, right? First, it's the two of you, and then we're somewhere in an office, then we're in but the stage also gets expansive. And to where you feel like you believe all of that's happening in front of you.
Well, it's our director, Robin Hereford. We've been very, very fortunate to work with the person who conceived of this in the first place 30 years ago and directed every of the official tours of it. Huh. He said the set kind of draws you in as well. You think it's just a very superficial set, and then something comes up and something comes up, and the next thing you're drawn into the set. You're drawn into that story as well.
And I think it's reflected in the actual writing of the script, is that it's not given to you immediately. I think I always, and maybe this is my own uneducated view of it, but, you know, American horror to me, in my experience, has always been much more leaning on the jump scare and the immediacy of the scare. Whereas this very English style, it's a slow burn. It takes a while. Mm-hmm. You're drawn in. It's not. You're not given that reward so immediately. You have to work for it. You have to wait for it.
And you can think of some modern horror films, the John Krasinski.
A Quiet Place.
Out, where it's not just immediate. We're telling the story first, and then we'll provide the jump scare.
And my mom does not like scary movies at all. My mom was with us, and
I hate scary movies.
I love scary movies. Love scary movies. She thoroughly enjoyed this. My son has seen you in the Shakespeare plays at
Navy Chicago Pier. Shakespeare.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I saw him. Yeah, and I believe I might have been there. I don't know if you were in Romeo and Juliet, but there was the thing about now live theater when you have teenagers. Have you had many teenagers or kids?
Yes, sure.
I know there was a young man there in addition to my son on Sunday. How do the kids react?
Oh, I got to tell this story. The other night, a wonderful family. I was going out to see some friends who'd come see the show, and there was a family who stuck around way after everybody had left. And there was a mother and a father and a daughter, probably about 12 or 13, and then her younger sister, who had to be 9 or 10. And it was very clear she had not had a great experience.
Oh no!
And the father had seen us on a TV station advertising, you know, hey, come down, but. It was amazing because, of course, I immediately went over and said, you know, hi, how you doing? Did you like the show? Were you scared? And everybody was like, yes. And then the youngest one said, oh, I was too scared. But she wanted to be an actor.
Oh.
And so I sat there for probably about 10 minutes with her talking about, you know, bridging that line of, you know, it's just a story. It's not quote unquote real. There, you know, no one's going to come get you in your bed at night. But at the same time, what a great lesson. If you want to be involved in this business or in this art form, that's the power of it. Don't ever lose that wonder. I remember when I was about 9, I saw a production of Dracula at Actors Theater of Louisville that thoroughly scarred me. Absolutely. Have no doubt about it. I have seen many therapists about it, but it was that power of storytelling, of being in a room where it goes, into our scary play, but also a play like Romeo and Juliet, where you feel for the people on stage.
Right,
and that was something I was able to talk to this young woman about and say, this is what the art is about. This is what it's about. Yes, it's scary right now, but go home and think about it. Don't let that magic disappear. And if you get involved in it, don't ever let that magic loose, because that's the beauty of this art form.
We are talking about the beauty of the art form with Adam Wesley Brown and Brad Armacost. They are the stars of Woman in Black, running through February 17th at the Royal George Theater. They are having a special next week for Valentine's Week, so you get a cocktail. If you don't have to get a cocktail, if you want to have a soda, that works too.
Absolutely,
mocktails.
Mocktails.
Our front of house. house staff at the Royal George are amazing.
Hey,
amazing.
I stopped at the bar on the way in. More after this on 720. You know I did. More in a moment. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. When you go to the website, thewomaninblack.com, you click on the USA Tour, and you can find out more information about the production of The Woman in Black here in Chicago, running through February 17th at the Royal George Theater. Joining me in studio are the stars. I mean, you're the cast. You're
the whole thing.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. We go to Seattle next, and so we've got another month of this.
What a perfect place to do that. I mean, in the foggy, rainy west, you know, upper Pacific. That'll be fun.
We're looking forward to that fog and rain.
Compared to this, I think it'll be fun.
It will be fun.
It's Adam Wesley Brown and Bradley Armacost in studio with me. And Adam was telling us about an experience he had with a young audience member. And I'm guessing you've had many of these moments, whether with this production, Brad. And
we have. We've been very fortunate to have some student matinees.
Ooh.
And they have been just delightful. They've been both in Cleveland. We opened in Cleveland for a month and then Pasadena Playhouse for a month. And we've had student groups, and it's just a delight to play for it.
Do they have a Q&A? Do you do a Q&A afterwards, like on stage?
We haven't for this show.
We haven't, but they were very, very well prepped in Cleveland, of all places, mm-hmm. at Cleveland Playhouse. They were very, you know, they had teachers who were running kind of a workshop afterwards there. We were not involved in that.
Mm-hmm. In Pasadena, it was cool because it's such a beautiful, large, old theater. They were able to fit something like 500, 600 seventh graders in to come see a show and talk about energy. I mean, at 10 in the morning, you know, you're working at night. You're, you know, that 10 is a very early time to be doing something. But then you walk on stage with 600 seventh graders. I mean, you can't help it.
Live wire.
Ooh, it was amazing.
It's fun.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that you come out, you know, talking to the audience, and it's a very intimate, you know, and sort of, you know, because your character is vulnerable. This isn't something that is natural for him. And so, you know, you're kind of getting through it, and the audience is, like, not quite sure, like, what if we, because there's that moment of, like, what's happening? Why is he talking to us? And it's so lovely, and I have to believe that also there are moments when the energy of the crowd informs. You've talked a couple times about having audiences that are so part of it. Are there nights where you kind of like it has to be the two of you that generate that until the audience kind of, because for it can also often be like get on the train or get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
I have found it's been my experience. I can't speak for Adam that I don't really think we've had a bad audience.
That's
we've had
wonderful.
Quiet quote, bad audience.
Oh,
we've
now,
had very, very quiet
I've jinxed
audiences.
You. And you've had quiet audiences.
We're coming for you, Patty. If something happens,
yeah. But quiet often means
quiet. Yeah. But it's interesting, and that really was part of Chicago's, you know, coming to Chicago from L.A. The audiences initially, they were really into listening to this, and the quiet audiences never. You know, when you get to the end of the show, they're right there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And sometimes there'll be just a dead silence. And Robin, our director, said, expect that. Expect that quite often, that they just don't want this play to be over as unsettling as it is.
Or they're just ready for whatever is going to come next. What's and next? Then it happens to be the end of the show. And they're right on board
and
with it.
And they're right on board
but
with
it. It's always been, to us, you know, again, knock on wood, Patty, we're coming after you if this changes.
Sorry.
But quiet audiences to us have never felt... disinterested not into the show. In fact, those audiences, I always feel like that always puts me a little bit more on, we got to do some really good work tonight because they're really listening. Mm-hmm. It's always felt very invested, very, very interested audience.
It's nice to be able to rely on a very well-written script as well. This is very well-written. Sometimes you see it on the page and you just think, I don't know if that's going to work. There are lots of very specific, British-specific references in it. And I don't think there's a whole lot of fat in it. I think it's pretty lean.
I have to agree. And the surprises are just incredible. and the way that unfolds, I'm like, what is happening? More in a moment. We're going to take a break here and find out a little bit more about our guests, Adam Wesley Brown and Bradley Armacost, the stars of The Woman in Black, running through February 17th at the Royal George Theater. Go to thewomaninblack.com and click on the USA Tour, unless you're going to London, in which case, go do that.